I had no idea when I was supposed to come down, so I made it just in the nick of time. Jason threw me off. So, in the spirit of wanting to be more like somebody I admire, a dear friend gave me some dress-up preaching glasses, date night glasses, funeral glasses, whatever you may see. So we're going to try these. All righty. Watch out now. So I had three people respond to them yesterday. Holly, of course, said, oh, they look great. No names. One young'un said, you look like Elton John. And I almost threw him away. But I think he wears pink ones, right? Huh? Okay, glitter. There's no glitter here, Charles. The other one said, I look like a serial killer. So I figure you take Elton John and a serial killer, and it puts me right where I'm at. Amen? So we are looking today at a precious passage in the end of Luke 2. And if you look at your sermon guide, you'll see humiliation, exaltation, and proclamation. If I hadn't have sent it in so early, and if Yvonne hadn't have been so on the ball, I struggle with the word humiliation, because it's heartbreaking to think of Jesus humiliating himself for me, that my sin burden, that my life was so busted and broken that the creator of all we know willingly humiliated himself, took on the form of man, and offered salvation. And that's precious, amen? I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. I'm going to read the passage. I was told by somebody there's a clock somewhere. Newton, I don't see a clock anywhere. It's on a screen. No, Newton. Jonathan Newton. Yeah. So, he knows who I'm talking about. Oh, it's on the screen. Okay, well, we'll see about that. You can go ahead and cut it off. No. Luke, join me there in Luke 2, 22 to 38. Holly wanted me to remind me to tell you that I'm physically kind of jacked up, hence the hat and the glasses and the shorts, just all kinds of issues. I'm just a walking pile of medical issues. But that's what's going on with the get-up. They did not invite a homeless man to come preach. And if you've been here more than a minute, you know I've got six shirts in the same shorts, and I rotate them. So this is this week's shirt. So you won't see it again for 6 weeks. Amen. So join me as we read in Luke 2, 22 to 38. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. And when his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word that is timeless and precious. We thank you for Simeon and Anna, mentioned only here in all of Scripture. Two people whom you have elevated to the point of proclamation and exaltation, who we don't know much about them, but we know they loved you and that they sought you and that you kept your promise, because you made a promise and you kept your promise. And we see that in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, here in 2025, almost ready to be 2026, that same promise is being kept day in and day out to your people, to the world. Your love for us is humbling and beyond our comprehension. Lord, walk with us as we seek to walk with you. Guide us and keep us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So the humiliation of Christ, the humiliation of the incarnation, that lands roughly on the ear, doesn't it? That Jesus was humiliated on my behalf and yours. The larger catechism puts it this way. The estate of Christ's humiliation was that low condition wherein he, for our sakes, emptying himself of his glory, took upon him the form of a servant in his conception and birth, life, death, and after his death until his resurrection. Question 46. So the idea of infinity is kind of big, right? Something is infinite. What does that really mean? No beginning, no end. Our God, our Savior, our Lord, our Holy Spirit, infinite. And then we have the idea of eternity. You and I will enjoy eternity, but we have not been around for infinity, which is great that we have the promise of an eternity with Christ for those who are in his care, who have professed him as our Lord. The idea that as far back as we can even conceptualize, that Christ knew what was going to happen to him when he and the Father decided at whatever point to create us. And at that point, his humiliation began, knowing what it would take for us to be returned unto the Father. What's our purpose? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Amen? That's what we're made for. And Jesus makes that possible by stepping aside, laying aside everything, all that we could ever imagine, the power, the majesty, the glory, the adoration of untold angels. Why? So that you and I could glorify God and enjoy him forever. I am not asking you to understand why he did that, why he, the Father, and the Holy Spirit decided to do this. I'm sure there's thick tomes that have been written about it. I'm just humbled that they decided to do that. I am grateful. I'm glad to be here. Okay? I'm glad to know my Savior. I'm glad to have lived the life that I've lived. I'm joyous in the life that I now live, and I'm overjoyed with what I know is to come. It's getting ready to happen. You know, they've been waiting for it to happen for 2,000 years, and it will happen. So we've got this idea that the humiliation of Christ began and he humbled himself to right now, okay, and to this incarnation, and history changed. Everything just got flipped on his head, and it's beautiful. He was incarnated. He lived perfectly. And then the humiliation of the cross, the cruelest way that they had to put anybody to death, he humbled himself to do that. It's been really challenging this, past 3-4 weeks whenever JT talked to me. It's been a minute. Understanding that the humiliation that I have the potential to cause my Savior. It's a fearful thing. And so I would just encourage you, if there's anything in your life that would cause humiliation on your behalf, because we're all going to die. Amen. Within the last 24 months, I've had the occasion to clear out one house and help clear out another building, organize another building for an individual who passed, and cleaned out one house. And just, you know, this guy professed the Lord. I don't know that I'm no judge, but it got to the point where, you know, I had to take a witness over me to clean up stuff and get rid of stuff, just to trash it. And then it was dear Mr. Jane Roz. Miss Pat said, "Hey, could you help me clean up this building?" And so me and Brother Tebow went over and started pulling out bins. And Miss Pat's sitting in her chair and she's going through stuff. And we got rid of so much stuff. But you would not believe the glorious time that we had, bringing out box after box and opening it. And my goodness, at the little packages that he had made up to hang on doors when they would go door to door on Saturdays, the Sunday school material, the deacon material. This man kept records. If you were a deacon during that day, I can only imagine what it was like to serve with Gene, because he was on the ball. And there was not a single thing in all of that building that even caused a moment of hesitation or humiliation. It was an awesome thing, right, Mike? Just to see where this man's heart was. And so I just say that to encourage us to leave nothing anywhere in our lives, to bring it all to the cross. Because he's already been humiliated on our behalf. He suffered the humiliation that's due us. And so if there's things in our lives that are going to bog us down, that are bogging us down right now, that humiliation needs to go the way of the dodo bird. We need to just submit ourselves to the Lord. We see here Mary and Joseph bringing baby Jesus to the temple. They are very humble people in their day. There was no great fanfare. They came in with the minimum offering that was allowed according to the law because they were broke, okay? You know, we think of frankincense, gold, and myrrh, right? That comes later. I mean, Mary and Joseph didn't have a penny to rub together. I mean, as they, you know, JT talked about last week, we're looking at some not great accommodations. I mean, this was the minimum that they could do after the purification that the law laid out. 40 plus days all told, and here they come into the temple. And the fact that Jesus, that his mother, that Joseph, that they had to go through this process of purification in order to be found righteous under the law. They did that. Jesus did not abolish the law. He fulfilled the law. Amen? And so that started even in his infancy when he was less than 2 months old. He was keeping the law. They came to Jerusalem. They brought him. And it's... Have you heard the term locked in? Have your children talked about that? Like, you know, I'm locked in on this. I'm locked in on that. Jesus was locked in on his ministry on earth. The 33 years that we have recorded from the very beginning of creation in infinity, he was locked in on what he was going to do for you and I. Before the first Adam was ever created, Jesus has said, I'm gonna be humiliated. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna become a human. I'm gonna put on the flesh. I'm gonna be tempted. I'm gonna live a righteous and holy and pure life. I'm gonna set the example because we're gonna ask people to do exactly, that's not me, to do exactly what is necessary to please the Father. And guess what? None of us could please the Father outside of Christ. That's why we need to be so into the Word, into prayer, into fasting, into the spiritual disciplines. Will we ever attain complete sanctification? No, but we can pursue it and desire it. You know, they are doing things here that are mandated by the law to which they have subjected themselves. And they're doing it willingly. You know, they come and they bring these two little turtle doves. And that's the sacrifice that they make. You know, our sin binds us, does it not? It puts us in a place where we need to make a sacrifice. And what is that sacrifice? Can we make a sacrifice in any regard that would please the Father of our own accord? No. We have nothing to offer him except for Christ Jesus and him glorified and him exalted in our lives. That is our offering of love to the Lord. We should be absolutely enthralled with the idea that we can return to God with the living out of holy and pure lives, the representation of what he's done for us through Christ, through this time on earth right now. A wee baby begins to set the example. You know, We roll through this, and if you look in your Bible, the next couple verses, you know, boom, Jesus is 12, okay? It's like we missed out on a huge chunk. Oh, I cannot wait to read that novel when the time comes. What happened during that time? We don't know. We don't need to know. But we know that Christ was focused on us for eons before we ever came here. And that in and of itself is so beautifully humbling that we need to not let that escape us, how great that gift is in Christ. And as they offered this sacrifice, let our lives be offered to Christ, to God, to the Holy Spirit. Let us subject ourselves to his guiding hand. The law was guiding what was happening here. The law has been fulfilled, and guiding us now is the indwelling Holy Spirit. And we could ask for no greater gift than that alone. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Here we have the exaltation. We're getting ready to name this baby. We're getting ready to call it like it is. We're getting ready to have this individual, Simeon, you know, just come and say what is going on, who this child is. Look at how he's described, please. He was righteous and devout. Does that describe us? It should, amen. Righteous is horizontal, devout is vertical. I do not know where you're at today. I don't know if I would have even been chosen to fill in Simeon's shoes, because I know my own heart. But God saw Simeon, saw his righteousness and his devotion to him, and his heart. Where was his heart? His heart was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The consolation. What was the consolation of Israel? What had they been waiting so long for? The Messiah. A singular event in history had finally arrived on the scene in the person of Jesus Christ. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Well, that kind of gives you some comfort, does it not? If you got a divine message that, you know what? You're not going to die until this happens. Scott might go skydiving. Okay, I might go above the speed limit. I might actually do something, you know, like bold, because I've got a promise. Not stupid, you know. I'm not going to go jump off of one of those mountains in those wingsuits. Those guys are nuts. Okay, you're just begging to die. They always show the ones that work out. They never show the ones that smack the mountain. That doesn't even make daily dose of the internet. Okay, but. Here's a promise. Promise made to this man by God that you will not die until you have seen the consolation of Israel, till you have seen your Messiah. And so here he is. The peace that he must have. You know, there's sickness running rampant. And I don't know if your families were affected by it. We've got like the plague central at our house right now. We've had stuff come through and, you know, people are sick all around us. You know, there's just individuals in our community who are bad off. And we need to be praying for them, and we need to be lifting them up. Simeon had a promise that he would not die. You and I don't have that promise. We have a guarantee of death. I'm going to die. You're going to die. And we need to not be afraid of that. Simeon had complete peace. He knew that the Father had made this promise through the Holy Spirit and would keep it. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said. So I don't want you to miss the Trinity right there, okay? There's a beautiful snapshot of the triune God in that one short verse, okay? He has led Simeon, the Spirit has led Simeon into the temple. He is holding the Messiah in his hands. And he blesses God. Folks, that's 1, 2, 3 all in one right there. What a miraculous moment this must have been for Simeon. The joy, the fulfillment. I mean, just imagine the biggest promise has ever been made to you. I mean, we're not talking, hey, I promise to mow tomorrow. Or I promise to take the trash out when you ask me to. This is, I promise, Simeon, that you will not die until you see the Lord Jesus, till your Messiah is within your eyesight. How old was Simeon? We don't know. I read a whole bunch of things. It's, you know, who this Simeon guy is, it's from left to right, it's all over the place. Was he an old guy? We don't know. We don't need to know. We just know that God made a promise and he kept it. Amen? How long did Simeon live after this? Does it matter? No. But look what he says. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. There's some that said that meant that, hey, he's getting ready to check out. He had finally, his expiration date was here. No. I don't see that. I just say that he's got the ability now to know that this promise made has been kept. You are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Can you imagine? We're going to get to see our salvation one day. The passage that JT read, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Our knees will bend and we will scream out, Jesus is Lord, in exaltation, in just power and adoration. And then there are those who will bend that knee and say, Jesus is Lord, without a moment of joy, knowing what's coming around the corner. That is heartbreaking. There will not be peace. But for now, we see the salvation that has been brought into the temple by Mary and Joseph. Verse 31, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. John the Baptist was called in Scripture the greatest that had ever been born. Amen? Outside of Jesus. But then it goes on to say that in Matthew 11:11, that even the least one in the kingdom of God was greater than John the Baptist. Was John the Baptist, was he put down there? No. But it's just the positional idea that those who are in the presence of God our death sentence has been taken away. This child that Simeon is holding is the deliverance that you and I are sitting here today rejoicing in. It is a beautiful thing that Jesus has said, you are mine. And he said it, he was saying it here, he says it now, he said it for all time, that we are his. And there's power in that. There's just the peace that Simeon had. Depart in peace. You know what? Am I looking forward to departing? No. Will I? Absolutely. Is it my desire to do it in peace? Amen. I do not want the things in my life to steal the peace that God has instilled in my heart through the Holy Spirit. You and I, we all, for those who are in Christ Jesus, we have that Holy Spirit, and we do things, we have thoughts, we step away, and we lose that peace. And that peace, brothers and sisters, I just adjure you, please, find that peace. Seek out that peace. And then we come up on this passage. And his father and his mother, there in 33, marveled at what was said about him. When was the last time that we marveled about our salvation, in our salvation, at our salvation? Do we take it for granted? Do we have hearts that are marveling at what Christ has done for us? His mom and dad marveled at what Simeon had said about Jesus. And it just jumped off the page at me. When's the last time that I found Christ marvelous in my life? Do we see him daily? Do we understand the marvelous work that he has done and the fact that we can approach him and say, Lord Jesus, King of the heavens, creator of all that I see, forgive me, cleanse me, make me pure and holy. That's what, you know, our ability to understand the marvelous nature of Christ is in Scripture. It's here, right now. The gathering together of his saints. This is awesome. I mean, just being here with you guys is a privilege. And I pray that as we move forward, as we've understood the humiliation of Christ and what he's done, the exaltation, that our lives would be an exaltation of his glory, that we would not lose that joy that goes on every minute of every day. And then we see the proclamation. We get introduced to this prophetess that nowhere else do we see. She is a lady who was widowed, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. And then as a widow until 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. This lady was locked in. Amen? She spent a lifetime locked in on doing what God had told her to do. I mean, she set up residence in his presence. She made her life's goal to worship through prayer and fasting. There's so many ways for you and I to worship God, to glorify God. One of the verses, and if I've seen you or been around you much in Sunday school or wherever, that there's a verse that is so precious. Therefore, whether we eat or drink, you know what it is. Therefore, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. That worshiping with everything that's in our life. Why do we not find him marvelous? Well, maybe it's because we're not worshiping. Maybe we've become dulled to the fact of his sacrifice on our behalf. Maybe we no longer understand what truly took place here at the incarnation, at the crucifixion, at the resurrection, at the ascension. Have we lost the marvel of all that Christ did for you and I? I hope not. I hope not. I hope that we seek that out every day. Because it's there. The joy that Simeon feels, the joy that Anna feels, the joy that you have felt is always available. So the proclamation here in 38. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. She did not keep her mouth shut. She saw it, and then she got busy doing what she was intended to do, and that's proclaim, to speak of. For anybody that will listen, imagine her excitement. It has happened. The fasting, the praying, the worshiping. And here he is, the consolation, the Messiah, the Christ. She got excited about it, people. She went out and told all that would listen. All who were waiting. You know what? The world is still waiting. There's a lot of folks who have not heard this message. A lot of folks in your lives who have not heard this message. A lot of folks in my life who have not heard this message. We need to pull an Anna, people. We need to get up and get going and start telling folks what's going on. I came across a quote from C.S. Lewis this week. And I'll close with this quote. Scripture says that we have not seen Jesus, but we love him, right? I haven't seen him. You haven't seen him. But I know he's real. I know he's as real as this podium right here. I know he's more real than this podium. this podium is basically empty air. I took a class or two. I understand what an atom is. Okay, it's empty space. You are mainly empty. Your head's empty. If your spouse calls you empty headed, say amen. Created in his image, the Imago Dei, we're empty folks. Okay, there's a lot of space. But in his miraculous glory, he has brought it all together. We have not seen him, yet we love him. Anna loved him. Simeon loved him. Throughout the course of history, millions and millions and millions have loved him. Right now, millions love him and have not seen him. Are we fools? No. We've been given a precious gift. Let us not waste it. Let us jump wholeheartedly into what our purpose is. The church is here right now to continue to proclaim Christ Jesus. So this quote that I came across from C.S. Lewis, it hit deep, just deep inside of us. Is this your home? It's okay to say no or yes. Is this your home? No. We're sojourners. We've made a home. We pay taxes on a home. Okay? They went up this year in Person County. A lot of folks are grumbling. Okay? 45 Rosewood Drive. That's my home of address. Okay? But this is not my home. This body is not my long-term home. Thank the Lord. Okay? We're sojourning. And this quote, because it hit a chord in my heart that and it may be very familiar to many of you. I had never seen it before. If I find in myself desires which nothing in the world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. Think about that for a second. Do you desire to see Christ? Isn't there something inside of us that yearns? We know this isn't all there is. I just beseech you. I'm not one about New Year's resolutions. If you want a deal on a treadmill, wait till about January 14th and get on Marketplace, okay? There's a lot of New Year's resolutions that are coming. I want a resolution in my life that when things are all said and done, there will be nothing that Scott leaves behind that causes humiliation to my Savior nor my family. I want my life to be free of that. And I can do that now. I have done that now. I will do that daily. That is our call to sanctification. And then just the idea of exalting Christ daily. You know, don't just be comfortable. Find Simeon's joy. Find his peace. Find the fulfillment of the promise. Jesus kept his promise. He made a promise. He kept a promise. You will not die. Now go in peace. And then the proclamation. You hold in your hand, on your phone, on your tablet, in your heart. You hold scripture that this world so desperately needs. Let us leave here today convicted that we need to be proclaiming that which we know to be the truth into this dark world that we live in. We're the light, folks. We're the salt. We're the ones that's got to bring it. So get locked in on not a New Year's resolution, but a desire to please him. And how we do that is we share what has been given to us. It's a simple thing, but it's one of the hardest things in the world. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have known from the very beginning of your creation that we would all be gathered in this room today, that we would need saving, that we were created to do one thing, but we were not created as robots. And in that free will and that ability to choose, you still went ahead with it. You created us in such a way that you knew what would happen. You knew what the answer for that that falling was, and you humbled yourself. And Lord, I want to join Simeon and just exalting your name on high today, thanking you for what you've done, what you did, what you continue to do, that we do not have to be like the world around us, that we are called to be holy and righteous before you. Lord, I thank you that we have the ability still to proclaim freely Christ and Christ crucified and Christ resurrected, Christ ascended, Christ the answer to the world's ailments and problems. Give us boldness in proclaiming that. We love you, Lord. Help us to love the people around us in our lives. Help us to get out of our comfort zones. Let us take your word from this place today and live righteous and devout lives. We have seen the fulfillment in Christ Jesus of your promise. You kept it. You made it. Let us do the same. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.